You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Carousel Radio. Hello there, my name is Jason Need, and joining me today is a very special guest.
Hello everyone, my name is Joel Cooper.
And today's a very special episode called The Following Rules Apply. In this show, we ask the hard questions.
Questions that no one really wants answered. There are many such questions. Where did we come from? Where are we going?
Why does pie exist?
What does Clark Kent do on his days off? So many questions.
Today, what we've done is we've taken seven of the best,
biggest, most important questions.
And we've brought them to you today to finally be answered. And guys, welcome to the show.
Carousel Radio.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
Radio. Radio.
Following rule applies, please listen to the very end.
But before the end, here is our first question.
Of seven. Question one. What is the dumbest thing you can hang from a crane? Now, to clarify, this is a construction crane that's high up in the air and probably in a built-up area.
Now let's throw it over to Gus Garside from Carousel.
Yourself.
Solid answer.
Here's some answers from our producer, Paul.
The three dumbest things you can hang from a crane would be a seesaw, a trampoline, and a bouncy castle. The single dumbest thing would be the bouncy castle for a kid's party.
I remember the British Airways stunt they did ages ago. On the seafront, they got a crane and they hoist it to a table and then they lifted you about 50 feet in the air so you can have lunch in the sky. An entire dinner party suspended from a crane.
That sounds pointless.
It was pointless. You're strapped to like a picnic bench and then in front of you was this plate of food which you could eat as you go up and down.
Jesus, schmuck.
And it was a genuine thing.
A friend of mine, famous for many things, including tall ships and dressage, says that the dumbest thing to hang from a crane is a car. Alright then, so, Jason, why don't you answer your own question? Dumbest thing, go for it, crane.
My personal favourite has to be a giant elephant with explosive diarrhea.
I'll do it.
But the top comment, believe it or not, is a crane. All I know is if it is a smaller crane, what would be hanging from that crane?
Another smaller crane. We're doing crane recursion here, just cranes all the way down. Each one's like half the size, so you never quite get the zero-sized one.
I think I want the bottom one that's just touching the floor just to be a piece of paper. A picture on a piece of paper, yeah.
Actually, one of the answers I sent out was responded by a former therapist, he's now retired, actually suggested also a crane, but it's the bird crane. And the stupidest thing it could be carrying is cat food. That's the stupidest thing he could think of. We also sent this question to Adrian from the Carbonators. He was recently interviewed, and he said...
A catapult to knock all the buildings down.
Yeah! Although, it would be very inaccurate, wouldn't it? Because you got a catapult, which is fine, but then the catapult's sort of hanging from the crane, so it's swinging. And then when it fires, it's going to cause some perpetual motion to jolt everything.
I mean, you say that, but let's not forget that one of the most famous siege weapons around was the trebuchet, which is just a swinging arm thing.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Maybe there's something in on this sort of thing.
If someone's got a bunch of money and can test this, please do it and get back to
please
us.
Please don't actually do this. Carousel is not going to be responsible for any damages.
Following rules apply.
Question two. You have to remake the 1997 film Titanic as an action adventure movie. But the following rules apply. You must include a threat that is not related to the sinking of the ship. You must include at least one gunfight. The main character must have a hard time dealing with the threat. The main character must be betrayed by someone aboard the ship. And finally, the Titanic still has to sink. What is the new plot of your film.
Okay, Titanic, Titanic, Titanic. Okay, here's what I would do. During the actual standard events of the Titanic, there's a heist movie going on. The idea is that the rich have got, like, you know, they're, like, transporting, like, some diamonds or something. And someone's like, we're going to get that. So while Jack and Rose are doing their thing, we also in the background and sometimes in the foreground just go, okay, we're ready, let's go for it. And then as the iceberg shenanigans happen, you know, all that fun stuff, that's when everything reaches its crescendo. We get the fights as the water is building up, just bang, 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 trying to get to it. But that's what I would do. My dressage friend I mentioned before had an answer, which I will read in its entirety. Not seen the Titanic in ages, but I'm going to go with at the end of the film, there is a gunfight between the crew members and the captain. The crew members jump overboard, the captain is furious. Unfortunately, the crew member give their position away to a submarine, which chases them all the way to America. Most of the crew get away safely, but unfortunately, the Titanic still sinks.
And here's Gus Garside from Carousel.
The ship's cook threatens to poison everyone's food. Everyone on the ship, because he's so upset and jealous that his ex-lover has fallen in love with the main character. The cook tries to shoot the main character, who has no gun, but the cook's ex-lover does have a gun and shoots the cook. The main character and the cook's ex-lover had been careful to keep their relationship a secret. They meant to run off together once the ship had docked, but one of the kitchen staff, who is a real creep, sees them kissing and tells the cook. Sadly, the ship still sinks, so they never get to run off together.
Oh. So the question I now have is that actually separate? Or is that Kirk, like, Jack's ex? Is he doing that because he just doesn't want to admit to Rose that he's secretly gay, but he doesn't want to admit that to her because that just makes this whole thing really awkward?
Either that, or the chef is actually playing Jack's character.
And now we're going to throw it to Paul, our producer.
I haven't seen the 1997 film Titanic, but I imagine an action-adventure movie that might go as follows. A giant aquatic beast, enticed by the aromas coming from the kitchen, decides to attack the ship with an aim of swallowing it whole. Crew members open fire on the beast. The beast is backed up with some gun-toting plankton with tiny guns. A gunfight ensues. The captain loses an eye in the gunfight, but despite the great onslaught, appears to be steering the ship away from the trouble into safe waters, only to be betrayed by a wealthy passenger who has taken umbrage at the captain's sniffy attitude over dinner the previous evening. They jab a fork into the captain's only good eye, rendering him blind, which leads him to steer the ship into greater troubles, and the aquatic beast finally eats the ship whole before pulling it down for safekeeping.
That's brilliant.
Jason, it's a great answer, but there is one issue. Must include a threat that is not related to the sinking ship.
Oh, yes.
This threat sunk the ship, so unfortunately... Alert, rule infringement detected.
Dang it, you broke the rules!
Mine would be that the Titanic is secretly shipping supplies to an enemy nation.
Ooh.
And they're out in the open waters, but the government has figured out what's going on and have sent agents to try and find the concealment aboard the Titanic. And they get too close and a bar fight starts out. And then try to keep it from the crew, but then the crew figure out what's going on. So then they bring the guns out and start shooting up each other. So the crew are in a total panic. At this time, a stealth dinghy has snuck up behind them for reinforcements from the agency to come on board. And they finally figure out where the items are. So they bring in a submarine to try and loot the items over. In the meantime, the captain rises up, takes back control of the ship, but at this point it's too late, as the submarine is then fired or torpedoed into the side of the Titanic to hide the evidence, while the submarine is trying to get away. Question number 3. There is a tarmac road as far as the eye can see. On the road is a transit van. The back left tyre of the van is covered head to toe in freshly applied wet paint. The van sets off and leaves a trail of paint behind it on the road. How far down the road does the van get before the paint on the road is no longer visible?
And here's yet another one from Carousel's Gus Garside.
I'm not sure whether it's possible to say head to toe when you're talking about a tyre, but anyway, the answer is the length of 3 to 4 rotations of the wheel.
But okay, brain activate. So I'm going to say a tire is going to be about 45 centimeters. Multiply that by pi. Give up on that. Multiply it by 3. That's 125. I'd say that's about 1.35 meters is his answer. About. So my answer is I think there's too many variables.
Way too many variables.
So my answer was like, I'm going to say like 10 meters. My dressage friend, when I asked him, he said a mile, which is a big number. that's about 100, what I said. The retired therapist, when I asked him, he gave quite a long answer. The transit van is parked at the ferry terminal where it is painted. It travels 200 meters and then boards the ferry. By the time it reaches France, however, the paint is dry. So, we're going to unpack this. Here's the thing. You said set off. You never said that the van itself is driving.
That is fair.
So his idea is, because it's on a ferry, it never drives in relation to itself. So his answer is basically no answer, except for the a little bit of time it takes to get onto the ferry.
That's 100% fair.
It did set off. He was correct. Yeah. That is how it works.
But the thing is, that's what these sort of questions are there for. The short answer I would give is 4.8 miles, just because I think it's a good number. But again, it's too many variables to determine, because you have to figure out, like, is it sunny? Is it quick dry paint? What type of engine does the van have? Is it supercharged? Is there anything in the back of the van? Does the van have a second engine? Does it have really big monster truck tires? So there's so many different variables that can affect the paint.
All right, moving swiftly along.
Question 4. What do you put inside of a teddy bear's stocking to give them the best picnic ever? The following rules apply. The stocking must be of standard size. The stocking cannot overflow with items. You cannot put chocolate or alcohol into the stocking. And as a point of reference, bigger items means less space inside the stocking.
Gus Garside from Carousel.
Blue cheese, nice biscuits, grapes, cheesecake and juice.
Big fan of grapes, big fan of blue cheese, huge fan of cheese.
Love the grapes. Producer, Paul.
In the teddy bear's Christmas stocking, I would put a dozen miniature raspberry cupcakes, a soft blanket made of wolf fur, wolf being the arch enemy of the bear, an autobiography of the 26th President of the United States of America, Theodore Roosevelt, the original namesake of the teddy bear, and the game Kaplunk, being the game that teddy bears find the most fun.
Yes, I agree. That is the game that teddy bears would play. I've never played Kaplunk, but it just sounds right. Would like to point out officially that there are other games are available.
Boxing chess is out of it, question, because I can't play that.
Why not?
Because I don't think you would be able to fit full-size boxing gloves into a stocking.
Oh, it needs to fit in a stocking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I assume that they just had standard size stockings. You could fit boxing gloves in there. And remember, bears are tiny. Standard bears are huge. Do not mess with them. Don't hug them. Unless you're like very good friends. And even then, don't.
You can literally get life size teddy bears.
I had one, actually, when I was young. They got a little smothery, but I do like hugs, so I didn't complain. You can fit boxing gloves in a stocking, especially teddy bear sized. I'm more of a safety first kind of guy, so mine would be extra stuffing.
Let's see, what would I put? I would have to put a tangerine, because that's like the quintessential thing.
A?
Maybe, well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you are one stingy schmuck. What are you getting for Christmas? Tangerine. Singular.
I really want to put in an Uno deck.
Ooh, Uno. Uno. I like that game.
It's like a card game where you try and trick your opponent into either wasting their hand or picking up cards or reversing stuff.
All right, as for what my dressage friend would say, he said, a hot flask of tea, rock cakes, some biscuits, just in case. Oh, and better put an orange in there, just to be healthy. He's Team Tangerine.
Following rules apply.
The following rules apply.
Question 5. You have been given 3 wishes. However, each wish has a set of rules attached to it. The first wish must be selfish. The second must be selfless. And the third has to be pointless.
I would like to read an answer from the retired therapist. Here's his answer. For the first wish, the selfish, is all the money in the world. The second wish is to donate all said money to charity. The third wish is the charity is save the unicorns. Knew he wouldn't fail.
Gus Garside from Carousel.
A lottery win enables me to do up the house, buy a really good double bass and a camper van. The second wish is a lot of money that would go to my family and the rest of charities, including the arts. And the third one is I can't think of a pointless wish.
Well, all I am going to say is we asked for 3 wishes and he only gave 2.
Rules! Wah! Broken!
Alert! Rule infringement! Alert! Rule infringement!
Here's some answers from our producer, Paul.
My selfish wish would be for a never-ending pear and chocolate tart. The selfless wish would be for a basic income for every person that covers all the costs of surviving on the planet. And a pointless wish would be for a zero-gravity flotation chamber where the citizens of every town can go and fly around amidst amazing ever-changing lighting and sound design.
Not gonna lie, I'm a big fan of that last one. Completing the stereotypical autistic trifecta of which I am, I'm a big fan of sci-fi. The idea of just floating in the void just sounds like, yeah, that sounds amazing. If you forgive me, I will now throw it to me and catch. Okay, so selfish is all money, is what I would want to say, but I now realize that it's just a really cliched answer now, so I'm going to change it to never needing to use the bathroom. It is a huge time waste. That's one. My selfless is going to be, insert words here, brain activate.
That's not a wish. That's not a wish.
It is now. The problem is that it's not selfless.
So your selfish wish is to activate your own brain.
Hey, it worked. Say what you want about it, it worked. It stopped derailing my train of thought. Anyway, commercially viable fusion power. Fusion power is a lot of... Well, it's the power of the flippin' sun, and I would like the power of the sun on Earth because I'm a monster, and it might help. My pointless wish... A box of the best tea. I want that.
You can't have that.
Yes, I can.
That's not a pointless wish.
I just want to claim ownership. It's mine. Look at that. I'm going to waste the tea on a random day.
A box of the best tea is sort of saying that you want it for yourself.
Yeah, you're right. Tag out. Yep, I got nothing. So this is from my dressage friend. His first wish is to have another sailing trip to France. Again. Rub it in our face, man. For selfless, it would be to live in a society where everyone is truly equal. And the third wish, make it rain.
For me, it would be 3 tech upgrades for life, so I never have to buy a new device again. My selfless one is a cure for all cancer. And surprisingly, my pointless one is rain as well, except I wanted to rain chocolate just to annoy everyone.
Do you like chocolate, though?
I do like chocolate.
That sounds selfish.
No, think about it, right? The entire city covered in liquid chocolate. It's going to be sticky as all hell. It's going to smell. It's just going to ruin everyone's life.
All I am going to say, though, is that you have successfully killed dogs. So just going to say, we are no longer friends.
Full disclaimer, I am a complete dog lover. I do love dogs to bits, but...
Says the guy whose pointless wish requires the murder of all dogs.
The following rules apply.
Question 6. You're put in charge of the North Pole Winter Olympics. The participants are all of Santa's reindeer. You will need to plan everything for this event. The following rules apply. There must be at least 6 games in which the reindeer can take part in. Do remember that reindeer do not have hands. There must be an opening ceremony. A halftime performance, you must provide media coverage for the event, and there has to be a medal ceremony at the end of the event. How do you proceed?
We will start with my dressage friend, who, let's just say, I think he was ready for this sort of question. So, the opening ceremony was easy. Everyone has to line up and ask Santa what they want for Christmas. Media coverage? Elle's gonna handle it. They're good at their job. Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to say now, he only gave 4 games. The 4 he gave was reindeer jumping, hiking, log lifting, and reindeer dressage, hence why I'm calling it that. And in the medal ceremony, the gold medal winner gets to pick what Christmas song everyone has to sing.
Ah.
I certainly hope he picks Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
And was there any halftime performance?
No! Oh, he broke 2 rules!
He did!
Dressage Fred, what is wrong with you, man? But I do want to read Mr. Therapist. His answer is too long. Exclamation mark. Go for it, Gus.
The opening ceremony involves all of the participating reindeer making a big parade in fancy dress, led by Santa Claus. The games are nose polo, antler fencing, hoofball, long distance trotting, sleigh racing, and of course swimming. The halftime show features performances by elves and the reindeer who are not participating in the games themselves. And as in the opening ceremony, Christmas songs are banned. As for media coverage, being reindeer, they mainly use social media. Being highly competitive, there will be a medal ceremony, but the podium on which they raise their front hooves are spaced a long way from each other to avoid fights.
First things first, for those who are curious, I decided to quickly look it up. According to animals.sandiegozoo.org, adult reindeer can swim 4 to 6 miles per hour, so that is possible. So well done, Gus. And now we're going to throw it to Paul.
My reindeer Olympics would include the following games: Bob the Apple, Limbo Dancing, avoid catching your antlers on the bar, Tap Dancing, High Springboard Diving into Icy Waters, Ski Jumping, and Balloon Tennis, where the player loses a point every time they burst a balloon. The opening ceremony would take place in a giant glowing red orb modelled on the exact proportions of Rudolph's nose, with speeches from Santa, Lee Hubbard from Beat Express, and Daniel Wakeford singing a Christmas song. The halftime show would include a hologram of Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, performing a trap version of his 1948 hit Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, accompanied by a dance routine from a troupe of polar bears. Medals will be gold, silver, and bronze Christmas tree baubles hung from the winning contestants' antlers. And media coverage will be its own Freeview channel, with round-the-clock coverage provided by a team of bad Santas who got sacked from their Christmas jobs for being drunk and unpleasant on the job. It will be an event to remember.
That would be a TV show worth watching.
I mean, that is, I'm going to be honest, Jason, that sounds like the worst TV show I would watch in its entirety.
But you would watch it.
I would record it. I would send it to everyone. Everyone with the message, guys, this is the best, worst thing you will ever see. I am going to note that one thing I do like, which is the idea of it being like a kind of bad Santa community service.
Yeah. What I would like to do with like the halftime show is just get Mrs. Claus all dressed up in a dress and just singing some punk rock song. I think it would be really funny.
Joel's checking. Was Saint Nicholas married is what I'm typing in right now. Yes, he was married to a woman named Theophania. Theophania is the medieval phrase for Tiffany. So yes, Mrs. Tiffany Claus is real.
I want to have reindeer jousting. I think that would be fun. I was thinking they had to put these rings in the air.
Ooh.
And they have to fly through the rings. One thing I would hate is hide and seek, because there's one reindeer in particular that's got a very bad disadvantage.
Come on, Mr. Rudolph is a celebrity. He doesn't have time for this nonsense.
Of course.
He won the reindeer games that one time. Now everyone loves him, and now he's left. He's going on world tours.
Well, no, he has to come back and defend his title. Come on.
No, he wouldn't. Why would he do that? Why bother?
Pride.
My award ceremony? Although I do like the bauble from the antler, that should be kept. There's one thing I do want to change. Gold, silver, bronze. Very human. Too human, in my humble opinion. So instead, it should be third place gets an evergreen sprig. Second place
acorn
gets a bristle of holly. And first place gets a bristle of mistletoe.
Okay.
Apply.
Question 7. It is Sunday morning. You are sitting inside a church. The priest has begun the service. Next to you are 3 bottles of wine. However, the bottles are disguised. What is the drinking game? We have an answer here, which is wine pong.
That's the dressage friend with wine pong from Retired Therapist. His answer is every time the priest says amen, take a drink. I would go for anytime you stand up or sit down. Swig for stand up, sit down. Glug if asked to reset from kneeling.
Mine would be every time the priest raises his hand above, let's say, his waist. Take a drink.
And now we're going to throw it to Paul, our producer.
My church drinking game would be a sip for every verse sung by the congregation, a glug for every time you sit down after being asked to stand or kneel, a full glass must be drunk for every amen, and the last person to drunkenly stagger out of the church after the service must become a priest. Or a caretaker. One of the two.
They'll need the help.
And finally, Gus Garside from Carousel.
The bottles are disguised as hymn books with a secret spout. You have to guess what the wine is, and if you get it wrong, you have to go to confession. If you get it right, you finish all three bottles and drunkenly sing All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Yes.
Masterful.
Yes, yes.
Let's just start. Let's just roll back to the first thing that he thought about how it's disguised. Like, well done, sir.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm speechless. I don't think that can be beat. But we're gonna try.
We are not. We're just gonna say things and just accept that we will forever be the bridesmaid while Gus is the bride. Well done, sir.
Not only did he disguise the bottles, he made a game out of the disguise itself.
Well done.
That was genius, dude. Hey guys, we've had a blast, haven't we? But we've come to the end of Following Rules Apply. You have followed us to the very end, so rule achieved.
Ba-ding.
And we've got another one coming up in 2023. So if you've enjoyed today's show, I can guarantee you're going to love the next one. So Following Rules Apply, tune in for the next show, and we will be back in January.
And remember, you can find all Carousel podcasts on wherever podcasts are sold or found or listened to.
Thank you for listening to Carousel Radio.
This podcast is brought to you by Carousel, helping people with learning disabilities to reach their potential in the arts.